Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. And please take the time at some point then to look through your announcements, and you're always welcome to take those home. There are a number of different things that are happening in this church, and then there's also a couple of meetings coming up with, one is the Texas region of the NALC, and we could use some delegates for that. Another meeting is just for our mission district. We need a new treasurer for our mission district, and that meeting will be held here shortly as well then too. So we need some folks to go to these meetings. If you're interested in going, talk to me or talk to the office or talk to Boyd, and we can get you fixed up with that. And then there's a lot of other things. There's community events, church events, different things happening around. So please be sure to read through the announcements. And I think, Terry, you had a couple.
It's raining outside, but that doesn't mean the picnic is over with. We do have rain plans, so please plan on coming. We also have an interesting little study for you, I hope. We need your help, too, because the kids are going to be helping tell the story, too, but we want you to help tell the story. We're going to be looking at the 10 plagues, and I think it's going to be interesting. We're going to have some insights I think would be interesting for adults as well, so please join us after church over in the fellowship hall, and we'll get together and start that study, and then we'll have some food and fun together.
All right. Thank you, Terry. Are there other announcements? You got some, Lori?
Good morning. Like last year, we opened FFF up to the fifth graders that will be going up into sixth grade. So starting this Wednesday, the beginning of May, any fifth graders that would like to come that will be going to sixth grade, they're welcome. So y'all come on and let's have a good time. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Lori. Any other announcements? Anybody else? If not, then I invite you to rise as we sing the hymn, "There Is a Name I Love to Hear."
There is a name I love.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was God. And the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, the glory of his truth.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown. Things done. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks. You may be seated.
The first lesson is a reading from Acts chapter 8. I begin at verse 26. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord. We'll now read Psalm 22 responsively. My praise is of him in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him.
The poor shall be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your heart live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall bow before him. To him alone all who sleep in the earth bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust fall before him.
My soul shall live for him. My sins shall serve him. They shall be known before the Lord forever.
They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn the saving deeds that he has done. The second lesson is a reading from 1 John chapter 4. I begin at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Hello. How y'all all doing today? Thanks for coming up here. I want to start off. Let's sing a song. Y'all know "This Little Light of Mine"? Y'all sing with me? Okay? Here we go. I'm gonna shine this flashlight. It's gonna be our light that we're making. "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine." Hey, wait a minute. Y'all didn't tell me my light wasn't shining. What's wrong with it? Well, I checked it out a while ago, and it was working. No battery. Not going to work without batteries, is it? Let me see if I can find them. Yeah, here they are. They're in my pocket. See if we can get this thing working. Because I didn't do too good a job checking it a while ago. A flashlight's not going to work very good without its battery.
It's the power source. It's the main
source of energy for that battery. So let's try it again. The light's working now.
Okay, so let's sing our song.
"This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Very good.
And it worked a whole lot better when we had the batteries in this flashlight. This flashlight cannot work if it doesn't have its energy source, its power source.
And that makes me think back to the
gospel that we just listened to.
Jesus told us that he's our energy source. He's our vine
Y'all know what a vine is? A vine's the main part of a plant. Grows long, and lots of branches grow off the vine, and those branches can grow fruit and berries. As long as they're connected to the vine, they'll stay living and can do what they're supposed to do. But if they get disconnected or unattached from the vine, then they're not going to do very good. Jesus talked about, he didn't talk about a flashlight. He talked about a grapevine. You know what a grapevine is? A grapevine makes grapes, right? Okay. So Jesus says he's going to be our vine and we're going to be the branches and we need to stay attached to him. Or if we're no longer attached to him, we're going to not be very good. We're going to kind of wither up and this is going to die. It was making fruit. It had a couple of grapes. This is a grapevine, by the way. I cut it from in my backyard. And it did have a few, look, there's some grapes, see them, right there? But since this is no longer connected to the vine, it's not going to be any good for anything anymore. It's just going to shrivel up, and it's going to die, and I'm going to need to throw it away. And I can't get it back to the vine. So that was piece kind of useless. Jesus says, he is the vine and we are the branches. If we are connected to him, we will produce fruit. But if we are not connected to him, we won't be able to produce fruit. And he wants us to produce fruit like kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. But most of all, he wants us to love others like he loves us. But we can't do that by ourselves. Just like the flashlight needs the batteries for its power source, and just like that grapevine needs to be attached to the main vine to continue living, we need to be attached to Jesus so we can produce the fruit that God expects us to produce. How do we do that? How do we stay connected to Jesus? Well, we can pray often. Go to church and Sunday school. Can read your Bible. Be kind and caring for others. That's all ways to stay connected to Jesus. And if we stay connected to Jesus, he will always be our vine. And we need Jesus to be our vine. Will y'all pray with me? Dear God, help us remember we need to stay connected to Jesus if we are going to produce the kind of fruit you expect from us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all for coming up.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a lot of imagery of grapevines or vineyards in the Bible, throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, there's stories that deal with grapes and grapevines and wine. In the New Testament, Jesus would use, he spoke of several different parables using a vineyard. And then today, too, it's not really a parable, but he uses the analogy of the grapevine of being connected, being all tied together, Jesus abiding in God and God abiding in Jesus and Jesus abiding in us. And we're all tied together through that trunk, through that grapevine, through that stem of the grapevine. And usually when Jesus talks about the vine, or when you see the vineyards or the vines in the Bible, usually speaking about the kingdom of God, it gives us a hint of what the kingdom of God is like in days to come and here on this earth as well then too. And in our lesson today, it's staying tied together, staying connected together, having that faith in God's presence, being in God's presence constantly, being connected to God constantly. And so how do we stay connected? How do we live out that faith that keeps us connected to God? Well, here in John's Gospel, chapter 15, throughout the chapter, Jesus continues to talk about these things of staying connected with God, but he also tells us how to do that. And one of the things is Jesus just says, listen to my word. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I have to say. And that is so important to us. We need to know what God wants for us. We need to know what God has done for us. So we need to stay attuned to God's word. We need to be reading our scripture. We need to be studying our scripture. We come to worship in order to hear that word as it is read, as it is spoken, as it is sung, as it is prayed. We stay close in that word. And we can do the same thing in our homes and in our lives. To stay connected to that word, we need to have that knowledge of knowing what God has done for us and what God has planned for us. Another thing that Jesus says here in chapter 15 is be constant in prayer. Continually pray. I know you have friends. I have friends that are here in the community. I have friends that are spread out throughout Texas. I have friends throughout the United States. I even know some folks outside of the states. And I know you have friends all over the world as well then, too. But if you don't see them, it's hard to stay connected to them. We can pick up our phones or email them or snail mail them or whatever we want to do, but we stay connected one way or the other to find out what's going on with them. Think about maybe some of the high school classmates that you had years ago. Once you got out of high school, you never saw them again, you never heard from them again, and I don't know that you would consider them friends yet. If you met them, well, you could strike up a conversation, but you'd probably consider them more like just acquaintances, people that you knew in the past. But to keep up a relationship, to keep up a friendship, takes constant work. It takes constantly being in conversation with them, constantly being in contact with them in certain ways. And Jesus says, be in constant prayer. God wants to be in contact with us. He wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to hear what's going on in our lives. Now, he knows what's going on in our lives, but he wants to hear that from us. Whether it's something that we're joyous about, something that we're happy about, something that happened really good, are those things then, too, that really make us sad, that make us grieve, or things that trouble us, things that are plaguing us. God wants to hear. And so we stay in that constant communication with God through prayer. Also here in chapter 15, Jesus says, be filled with my spirit. Be filled with my spirit. In baptism, we have received the Spirit of God, which gives us the gifts. It gives us the gifts to call, gather, lighten, and sanctify the whole Christian church on earth. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. So he calls us into worship, calls us together, keeps us united one with another within the church body. The Spirit is here with us in our presence. He also says, trust in my love or abide in my love. Abide in my love. In 1 John, it says that God is love. God is love. And so we abide in that love through Jesus Christ. And that's also, too, what we do with one another. We abide in love with one another. Look at each other. Sometimes people make you mad. I know people make me mad sometimes too, and it's awfully hard to love people who are mad at you or people that disagree with you. People have different viewpoints. They have come from different backgrounds, and you just don't understand what they have to say, or you think they have done something wrong, or maybe they have done something wrong to you, and you just don't like the person. It is hard to like somebody like that or even to love somebody like that. But if we look at one another in the eyes of Christ, Christ came to save all people. God had love for all people. God created all people in his own image. They are people. They're human beings, just like you and I, created in the image of God. Even though we disagree with them, even though we think that they are doing terrible things, we can still have love for them. We can still pray for them. Also be an example, and eventually maybe they may change their ways and return to the Lord. I know when I was a young pastor, Bishop Henry Schulte was leading a meeting. I don't remember if it was a a church convention or whether it was just a gathering of pastors. I'm not sure exactly what the event was. But he was talking to the pastors. And he was saying to the pastors, if you want to be a successful pastor, there's three things that you need to do. The first thing you need to do is love the people. You know, I sometimes get crossways with congregational members. I know sometimes people get frustrated with me or whatever I do, and sometimes there's friction within the congregation. But Bishop Henry Schulte would say, love the people anyway. Love the people anyway. So number one, love the people. Number two, love the people. Number three, love the people. And that's been sound advice throughout the years. And that's all there is. I mean, we get kind of messy. Again, we're looking at grapevines, and Boyd brought an example of the grapevine here in church, and I know you've seen them growing. You may have them growing at your house or growing out at your pastures, and they can be a tangled mess. They can absolutely be a tangled mess, just all interwrapped, intertwined, wrap around fences, grow up in brush, grow up in trees. It can be an absolute mess. But yet, even in that absolute mess is beauty, because out of that absolute mess, we get fruit. If we stay attached to God, and if we intertwine with one another, as we stay connected to one another through that branch, which is Jesus Christ. Another thing that he says here in John 15 is, keep my commandments. The Ten Commandments, we look at those and say, shoot, these things are pretty tough. And it also sounds like that God's hitting us over the head with a hammer. Do this, or you shall not do this kind of things. But really what God has done for us is given us a gift. Because these Ten Commandments are a gift to us. Because if we follow these Ten Commandments, our life will be good. Our life will be good. This is how God tells us to be in right relationship with Him. To be in right relationship with God is following these Ten Commandments. It also tells us how to be in right relationship with one another. If you want to be out of relationship with someone, steal something from them. If you don't want to have a good marriage or good family life, ignore your spouse, ignore your children, or be unfaithful to them, and you won't have a happy marriage. And you can go through these commandments and see that if we follow these commandments, this is for our good. This is for our benefit. So Jesus says, follow the commandments. And Jesus really gave two commandments. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commandments encompass all the other commandments within the Bible. And it also stems from love. Abide in my love. And the other thing he says here in 15 is enjoy my presence. Enjoy my presence. You think about, you think about the grapevines. What it takes to grow a grapevine. You've got the roots. The roots are in the ground. We don't see the roots, but the roots spread out. And that's where the moisture comes from. That's where the nutrients come from. Even the rot and decay help feed the grapevine with the nutrients in the ground. They'll spread out everywhere. Even though they are unseen, that is all there within it. Within our faith, then too. There's much we don't see. We don't always understand God. We don't see what God is doing or how God can work, but He's always feeding us, always giving us the nutrients, always giving us the moisture that we need in order to thrive, in order to live. And then you have the branch, you have the stem, you have the main trunk of the vine, which is Jesus Christ, which connects God the Father with us. That main branch of Jesus, God's only Son, God Himself, coming to this earth and becoming one of us. Who can be seen? Who can be touched? Who we know the history of. We know that history of Jesus of Nazareth, that person. And He has become one of us. And so we have that branch. But off of that branch then, we are connected to that branch by what He did for us. That He came to this earth, that he died on the cross and he rose again for our salvation, keeping us connected to him. And as long as we stay connected to Jesus Christ, we're fine. Again, you saw the withered branch that Boyd brought in here. I know several years back, my family owned property here in DeWitt County, and a lot of times just to get out and do something, I would take the chainsaw and I would start hacking away at all the brush. Everything out there, you know, mesquite, weesach, other brush, underbrush, poison ivy, grapevines. And a lot of times with the grapevines and even the poison ivy vines, I'd cut them off and I'd cut them as high as I could and pull them out as best as I could, but I could not reach the ones that had grown up in the upper levels of the tree. But I really wasn't worried about it because once it is cut off, it is going to die. It's going to wither up and die, and the next time I would come back, it would more than likely be on the ground because the wind had knocked it out, it had died, it shriveled up. And so I wasn't worried about it because I knew that branch had died. And so if we cut ourselves off from God, if we no longer continue to get where our nutrients, or we no longer want to be connected to Jesus Christ, our faith will die. I know we're busy people. We're pulled in all different directions. We're pulled by work. We're pulled by school. We're pulled by family commitments, by activities, clubs, organizations, sports. Everything keeps pulling us away. And it seems as if then, well, the easiest thing to drop is coming to worship. But again, if we don't stay connected, if we're not intermingled, if we're not tied together with one another, just as that messy grapevine is, then we will wither up and we will die. Our faith will go away and we will no longer be connected. We will no longer be able to have that life which God plans for us. I'm going to shift gears here a little bit and not talk about grapevines, but talk about some squash vines. A university students for a class project wanted to see how much pressure a growing squash would exert. And so they got some metal bands, and with a gauge, they put the bands around the squash once it got about the size of a human head. They put those bands around there with a gauge, and they predicted that there would be 500 pounds of pressure exerted by that growing fruit. And sure enough, after a month, that gauge indicated that there was 500 pounds of pressure, but they left the bands on there. And they came back a little while later, and it was at 2,000 pounds of pressure being exerted on that. And they were thinking, how high is this going to go? So they put more bands around that squash plant to help beef it up a little bit, to beef up their project a little bit. And it reached up to, the project stopped at 5,000 pounds of pressure. But they didn't stop the project. The squash plant itself stopped the project because at that point, all their metal bands broke. They could no longer measure the pressure on that. The pressure was immeasurable on that squash plant. And they also cut that squash apart, and what they found was all sorts of fibers that had built up underneath where that band was to help continue. All the fibers were working together to help push that band out so that that fruit could expand, so that it could get bigger, so that it can continue to grow. And they also dug up the roots, and they had over 8,000 feet of roots so that it reached out in every direction. God's love is immeasurable, and we can't discount the fruit that we are to bear. Again, this analogy of the grapevine. Grapevine's not worth anything if it doesn't have any grapes. We are to bear good fruit. The good fruit is that love that starts with the Father, goes through the Son, comes through us, and that love radiates out. Again, too, a grapevine, if you look at a grapevine, it'll go in any and every direction looking for sunlight, looking for that energy that comes out of the sun, and it'll go every which direction. God's love goes in every which direction, too, so that it can bear good fruit. It's always looking for that energy. And it's the grapevine is always being nourished, being watered, and brought in that energy with the sunshine. God continues to be with us so that we can grow, so that we can live, so that we can have a good life, and so that we may bear fruit. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn of the day, Lord Be Glorified. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let us pray to our victorious Savior on behalf of the church, the world, and all people. Grant that your holy church may always abide in you and you in it. Make it fruitful in words of faith and hope and deeds of love. Through its witness, graft many souls to yourself. Lord, in your mercy. Give to your persecuted servants the knowledge that through their faithful endurance, they will bear much fruit that refreshes and nourishes many hearts, perhaps even their enemies. Lord, in your mercy. Bless and direct everyone learning the way of being your disciple. May their patient friendship, walking alongside those who do not yet know you well, bear much fruit. Use them to kindle or renew faith in many hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Prune the hearts of our earthly rulers. Cut away the greed, pride, and lust for power that leads to hatred and violence. Build up all that enriches the lives of the poor and humble. Let the desire to do your Father's will abide in all our hearts and minds. Lord, in your mercy. You have overcome the world. Be the joy and strength of all those who defend us against violence, sickness, and injustice. Protect and guide them. Prosper all they do that works for peace and well-being, and bring them safely home again soon. Lord, in your mercy. Grant to all who suffer a double portion of your Spirit. Fill them with your life. Keep them steadfast in faith. Bless and strengthen all who care for them. We pray especially for Bill Claverman, Lori Barfield, Wesley Wynn, Byron Kramer, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Lynn McGurra, Ron and Marjorie Wilhelmson. And thank you for the birth of Charlotte Louise Sharp. And Lord, please let it rain. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, death shall never have the last word over those who abide in you. Thank you for speaking words of forgiveness and life to all who have died in you. Abide with us. Lead us to that place where we shall dwell with you and with all the redeemed, and shall feast at your heavenly table forever. Lord, in your mercy. Grant to us all that is in accordance with your will, dear Jesus, and accomplish your salvation among us. For you are risen from the dead and dwell in majesty with your Father and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us
Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For our blessing today, we sing the benediction to the tune of Edelweiss. Our closing hymn is "Bind Us Together." As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.